Maybe you can talk a little bit about the global issue of CD30 testing, particularly in things like diffuse large B-cell and peripheral T-cell lymphoma, when you do CD30 testing, and also quality control in terms of that assay.
Yeah, so CD30, again, it helps you with diagnosis. So anaplastic large cells should be positive. Hodgkin's, the Reed-Sternberg cells are positive. Those were the two with the greatest response to brentuximab vedotin. So that was wonderful to see. And then we said, gee, maybe there's some other CD30 positive. And a number of peripheral T-cell lymphoma NOS are CD30 positive, somewhat unexpectedly. Mycosis fungoides. And then even B-cell lymphoma, there's a CD30 positive subset of diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. So we're using that. We had been using that as a maybe reason for using brentuximab vedotin. How you define positive is very variable. Again, if you use the old 20-30% immunohistochemical stain, you're going to miss a lot. Clearly, in the T-cell world, there are people who respond to CD30 targeted therapy who have virtually no CD30. So what is all that about? So the easiest explanation is that there's a very low level that we can't pick up, and how many molecules per cell we can pick up by immunohistochemistry may be much higher than what's necessary for CD30 antibody targeted treatment. There's also some possibility of bystander reactions because the antibody drug conjugates, when they kill one cell, the drug is released into the surrounding area, so maybe it kills truly CD30 negative cells. People don't like me to say this, but I'm wondering, whether we really need CD30 testing because these tumors that respond well often respond even if they're negative by our testing. So unless we find a better biomarker for CD30 expression, whether that's RNA or a very sensitive immunohistochemical method, we probably should give the patient a try of these agents, even if it's officially negative.